In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So today, in grace, we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. It is placed between the end of the Easter season and right before we begin ordinary time. Mother Church will oftentimes use the intervals between the liturgical seasons to have particular feasts. For example, next week we'll have Corpus Christi, another feast day before the start of ordinary time. The placement of these feast days allows for the church to highlight some important aspect of our faith. The placement of particular feasts is also a teaching in itself. For example, we concluded the Easter season with the Feast of Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Then the church calls us today to honor the Holy Trinity. We could never understand the Holy Trinity without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And then next week, Mother Church draws our attention to the Lord's true presence in the Blessed Sacrament. From the Holy Spirit to the mystery of God to God's presence among us. We can see the movement, the placement of the feast days themselves is a teaching. You can see how the flow of the feast days moves one to the next, one leading to a realization and an understanding of the next feast day. And so having the gift of the Holy Spirit and knowing that the Spirit dwells within each of us as the baptized, we can approach the great revelation of God's own inner life. Now, theologically, we call the mystery of God's inner life the Holy Trinity. And we only use that term because we have to use some type of term. We have to realize, however, that no term fully encapsulates or expresses the mystery of God. In fact, when it comes to divine truth, our language oftentimes conceals more than it reveals. But such is life that dwells in time and space, and to life that is limited to verbal or bodily communication. The point for us is to understand that no theological formula, however precise, and our articulation is very precise, can fully manifest or fully explain who God is. St. Augustine of the 4th century, who's depicted here as a boy with his holy mother Monica, St. Augustine was one of our most eminent theologians and the one who most helped us to codify and give expression to the mystery of God's inner life. And yet, as he was working on his masterpiece, entitled On the Trinity, and it took this eminent theologian 30 years to write On the Trinity. And yet while he was writing it, he had a dream that he was walking along a beach and he saw a boy, and the boy kept going over to the water, had a little pail, he'd scoop up some water, he'd go over and he'd dump the water into a little hole he had dug. The boy keeps doing this back and forth, back and forth. Augustine asked the boy, "What are you doing?" The boy says, "I'm trying to put the ocean into my little hole." And the bishop starts laughing at the boy. He says, "You can't do that. It's impossible." And the boy turned into the Christ child and said to Augustine, "It is easier for me to put the ocean in this little hole than it is for you to put the mystery of God in your little mind." So the mystery of God. And yet we know and cannot forget that we are talking about God. So oftentimes we speak about the Holy Trinity and we can use these precise theological formulas and forget the obvious fact that we're talking about the God living and true, the God who is ultimately mystery. If we fully understood God, we would in fact be God himself. In heaven, it is true, we will be given a greater manifestation and we will know him, know God to the fullest extent of our glorified human nature. But even then, we will not fully know God. We cannot. What we know of him now is a gift. It's a supernatural revelation, which means it's above our human reason. We couldn't have come to this conclusion. We couldn't have reasoned ourselves to it. We could not have followed some type of logic to arrive at this. No, it's a gift. It's a supernatural gift. It's not opposed to our reason, but it's above our reason. In order for us to understand the mystery of God, the supernatural revelation, we need the help of theological faith. Faith is the way for us to accept and to begin to live by the great mystery of God's own revelation of himself. God reveals his inner life to us because he wants us to know him, to know who he is, because he desires a relationship with us. And so he reveals his inner life. And again, that revelation points, screams to us that he desires to be in a relationship with us. Because you can't be in a relationship with someone you do not know. God reveals himself. It's a gift. And so when we see this great mystery of the Holy Trinity, what exactly is being revealed? What do we see when we look at the inner life of God? we see three in one, three distinct persons, so united that they form one divine nature. The distinction they have is one of relationship. The Father is the Father because there is a Son, and the Son is the Son because there is a Father. The love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. The distinctiveness of the persons is not a raw declaration of autonomy, but rather a distinction that exists solely for the purpose of them giving themselves to one another. The Father is Father so he can give himself to the Son, and the Son is the Son so he can give himself to the Father, and the Spirit is the mutual giving between the Father and the Son. And so within the inner life of God, that self-possession, I am myself, exists only so there can be a self-oblation. I am myself so I can give myself to you. The divine existence points us to a self-giving, a self-oblation. This is why Pope St. John Paul II said that when we look at the inner life of God, we see that in his innermost essence, God is not solitude. God is family. In seeing the mystery of God, we are shown who we are, since this is the God in whose image and likeness we have been made, in whose image and likeness we have been created. The more we follow the divine persons, therefore, the more we fully understand ourselves. Do you want to be a stranger to yourself? Be greedy. Refuse to give yourself to another. You will become a foreigner to your own self. You will not know who you are. You will lose purpose and meaning and value. That is the fastest path to misery. If we want to know who we are, we must imitate the divine persons and seek to give ourselves as a sincere gift to others. Our self-possession, our autonomy, is for the sake of having something to give. It's the basis of a self-oblation to God and to one another's. This is why Pope St. John Paul II also taught, the one who does not give himself to others as a sincere gift remains forever a juvenile. Forever a juvenile. They never know who they are. They never know what they can give. They never understand true love. They are a zombie, a stranger to themselves and others, slowly making their way through a life of misery. The one who does not give himself, herself to another remains forever a juvenile. God has revealed himself to us so that we can know him, enter into a loving relationship with him, as well as know ourselves and what our purpose, what our mission is in this life. And so, dear friends, on this Holy Trinity Sunday, as we celebrate the sacrifice of our redemption, by which the Lord Jesus has given himself to us, let's push ourselves and ask ourselves honestly, am I living as an oblation for others? Have I died to myself so I can give myself fully as a sincere gift to God and to those around me? In my life as a son or a daughter of God, am I reflecting his own inner life of sacrificial love? Can others see in me, in the way that I live, a reflection of God, the three in one, the God who is love?